We have a very special service this morning. I'm going to turn the service in just a moment over to Brother Edward. But I wanted just to have just a couple of comments before I brought him up here. Our state, and as we've talked about and everyone's familiar, we've experienced tragedy like we haven't known in a long, long time. Over the last 2.5 weeks, we were blessed, very fortunate here in eastern North Carolina that we didn't have the same fate. Those of you that have been around for a while, you've been through storm events like Hurricane Fran, Matthew, some others, Floyd, you know, that came through, that have indelible implications on our minds. But I have found how people have reached out to these people in Western North Carolina has just been amazing. The response has been more amazing to me from churches and other religious institutions, regardless of what denomination or belief you, it doesn't really matter. But assistance has gotten to these people much more quickly, it seems to me, than from other organizations designed to provide that assistance. And it got me thinking, in Matthew 25, when you get home, read that chapter. It won't take you but a minute. But as Jesus, he has a couple of really great parables in there, but it leads up to a culmination. He starts off his discourse by talking about the 10 virgins that were on their way to a wedding. There were 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 wise brought oil and the 5 foolish didn't. And while the bridegroom tarried, they took a doze. They took a nap. They went to sleep. And when they woke up, the foolish virgins, their lamps had gone out. So they're begging the other virgins, give us oil for our lamps. And they said, don't have time. We got to wait for the bridegroom. You need to go and buy it. And they get back. And by the time they got back, the door was shut. The bridegroom came. He was inside. The door was shut. And the whole purpose behind that parable was to be prepared. It was to be prepared for the second coming of Christ. But more even so than that, it was to be prepared. He then goes on to tell another parable about a man that had several servants, and he was getting ready to take a trip, so he went to his servants and he divided unto them some money. One he gave 10 talents, one he gave 5, one he gave 1. And while he was on his trip, the one that had 5 went out and put it to use and made 10. The one that, you know, the one that had received the smaller amounts, he doubled his, but the one that had 1, he took it and he buried it. So when the master came back, servants came up and the first one came up. Said, Master, you gave me this many talents. I've doubled it. And here it is. It's yours. And my mom used to quote this verse all the time. She said that the master looked at the servant and said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter now into the joys of thy Lord. The second one came and received the same commendation. But the last one came and he said, hey, master, you gave me 1 talent. Here it is. And he said, why didn't you go out and make it useful? Put something behind it while I was gone. He said, well, I knew you were a hard man and I was afraid. I was afraid to be useful. And the master looked at him and he said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus' point to that parable was, we need to use what we've been given. We don't need to just keep it. We need to use what we have been given and to work actively in God's kingdom and not be lazy in doing so. And then Jesus moves into the final point of his discourse when he talks about the judgment. And he talks about how he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. When I was a little boy, I used to think that was so funny to me, that Jesus was going to call us sheep and goats. I kind of understand it now. And he was going to separate the sheep and the goats, and he is going to tell the sheep, he's going to say, come. He's going to invite them, all of those, all of us that have a relationship with him, to come and be a part of the inheritance in heaven that he has prepared for us. And then Jesus tells them why. He's going to tell us why. He's going to say, I was hungry and you gave me some meat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came to visit me. I was in prison and you came to see me. And then the Bible says something very strange. The Bible says that the people, and it says the righteous will ask him, Lord, when did we see you like this? You know why the righteous are asking that? Because we as the righteous, as Christians with Christ in our heart, we're going to be standing there before him, and he's going to say, come to the inheritance that I've prepared for you. Because I was sick and you came to see me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry and you fed me. And the righteous are going to panic because they're going to say, Lord, when did we ever see you lacking for anything? And you know and I know, the Lord doesn't lack for anything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything that there is. He made us. When was the Lord ever facing any of these maladies, any of these hardships? And then Jesus is going to look, and it says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done this unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. That entire chapter is a microcosm of what we have seen in the past 2.5 weeks. What you as a church have done. Edward and Shannon spent much of last week at Craigmont delivering supplies to people in need, providing meals, and you'll hear more of that. Mike is up there today. And there are a couple of important points to take note of in this chapter about preparation and usefulness. Mike mentioned this at our brotherhood the other night, and I won't forget this. Do you know Craigmont was started around 1945? And that used to be Mount Allen Bible College. And at that time, when the denomination decided to make this into a retreat, a camp, a seed was planted. That seed has been watered by contributions and help and money from churches and other individuals and businesses and everything else through the years. But let me ask you something. Do you believe that when that seed was planted in 1945, God knew that there was going to be a place like Craigmont needed in 2024? You see, I believe God, as Mike brought out in our brotherhood meeting the other night, I believe God prepared Craigmont long ago for a time such as this. Even the town of Swannanoa, which is only maybe 8 to 10 miles from Black Mountain at best, if you've seen the pictures from there, it is total devastation. And while Craigmont had damage, it didn't have that level of damage. Tell me God isn't good. Tell me God isn't good. There was a preparation made and it's still benefiting people today. What about usefulness? Usefulness. Not only did Edward and Shannon physically go to help there last week, but we got another one of our own there this week. And you here and tuning in, even though you could not go, you have supported those efforts financially and by your prayers. And by your prayers. The Brotherhood donated a generator. The Women's Auxiliary donated a generator. Money came in for two more, and we still got money coming in. That's not only going to benefit other people, but it's going to benefit Craigmont as well, because their funds have been halted due to this storm. And you see, from my vantage point, I can look at you and I can see that you as a church have not shut up your Christianity inside the four walls of this church. You've let it spill over to others. And that's the entire point of Jesus' message. When we have helped the least of these, Jesus said, it's like you've done it unto me. That's being the hands and feet of Jesus, church. And I am proud to call you all my family as we work together for the Lord. Edward sent me a text the other morning, and he said, call me when you get a chance. And I called him right back. And he told me, he said, God has laid some things on my heart I want to share. I said, that's wonderful. He said, it's going to take more than 10 minutes. I said, that's wonderful too. And you know what? I even believe God laid that on your heart for a time such as today. We begin our revival tonight. And revival is for the church. And part of one of the ways we as a church need to be stirred up, I really believe, is we need to be stirred up with spreading the gospel. With going out and not only reaching people with material supplies and financial supplies as we're trying to do, but we need to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Edward and Shannon, Mike, today, you've been living this. You've been living the gospel. And I am so honored this morning to bring Edward up as he shares some of the things that he and Shannon have experienced working in their duty at Craigmont. Floor is yours, my friend.
Good morning.
All
right, first of all, before I forget, because I know I will if I don't, I'm going to welcome Miss Amy Bumgarner up here. Wave, Amy. Amy's one of our students. Yep, that's fine. She deserves a round of applause for sure. Amy's one of our students at the University of Mount Olive, and you'll get to hear a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But Amy was one of the two girls that said, I'm not ready to leave. Well, we weren't ready to leave either. And so Amy decided she was going to hang out and stay with us. And like I said, not to flip too far to the back of the book, but whenever I told Amy that I really had a message I wanted to share, she said, well, if you go share it at your church, will you let me know, because I want to go. So thank Amy for coming here and for Shannon. And also, you know, as Pastor Roger mentioned, let's continue to keep both Mike and Lauren in our prayers as they're heading back today. And I hope that they have experienced a blessing that we experienced last week. As Roger said, this is going to take more than 10 minutes. I hadn't looked at the clock. I'm glad we ain't got one in here, okay? Y'all may not be first in line today at Golden Corral or Bojangles, but I promise if you pay attention, you're going to get fed, because I know I have as I've prepared this. I'll hit a couple more of my disclaimers, but before I do that, Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 7 is where I'm going to read out of in just a few minutes. Y'all, this is not, I'm not here today to toot my horn. I'm not here today to talk about what we did and what I want to share what we saw. Emerge Ministries, I never heard of them before we were up there at Craigmont, but Emerge Ministries is based in Beulahville, not too far from Mount Olive, not too far from here. Dr. Terry Norris is executive director for Emerge Ministries, and I love the way he put it. He said, and I'm going to unfortunately go against what he asked, but that's for a reason. But he told us, he said, do me a favor. When you go back, Don't talk about me. Don't talk about what I did. Don't talk about what Terry Norris did. Talk about what Emerge Ministries did through you. Talk about what you've done. And so I'm going to do the same thing this morning. I'm not here to talk about what I did, or, you know, because it's not about me. It's what the Lord did through me and through us at Craigmont. This message is for me. If it's not for anybody else in here this morning, it's for me, and I can promise you that. What I didn't tell Pastor Roger the other day is we got home about 4:30, I guess, on Sunday. I took Amy and the other student back to Mount Olive, got back home about 6 o'clock. Gigi went and got us Smithfield's chicken and barbecue. We came back, we ate, we put the boys to bed. I fell asleep until about midnight, and I woke up, and I started typing. Y'all probably can't see it, but this just keeps going on and on and on. And I could go back to sleep, y'all. And I had that on my heart from Sunday until I finally got up the nerve to text him on Wednesday morning. So again, the Lord has certainly had his hand on it throughout the way. But I do hope that you get something out of what I've got to share today. As I said, I'm on God's time, so if we go a little bit past, I'm going to ask for a grievance and for us to look past that. But again, I can promise we'll get you fed better than the Golden Corral if you can hang out and keep up. But I want to talk about our experience at Craigmont, how I got there, and what we did. Beautiful picture, isn't it? And I call this altered mission. Any teachers in the house want to tell me I misspelled altered? Yeah, we'll come back to that at the end. Okay, that's on purpose. That's on purpose. 2 weeks ago, I left this church. I'm not proud to say it, but I left here mad. I left here mad. I went and got a couple snapshots off of the message that we had that we recorded. Roger poured his heart out that morning. I don't know if y'all remember, but he poured his heart out. He was asking for somebody to come up to the altar. He was asking for prayer. That was, the day after or 2 days after the catastrophe happened in Western North Carolina. And I sat right back there behind where Miss Linda is, and it was on my heart. And I said, man, I need to get up. I need to go up there. I need to go up there. Just like I waited and I waited and I waited. And I thought, somebody else will go. We're going to fill up this altar. I feel it. We're going to fill up this altar. But somebody else is going to step out first because it's not me. It's not me. So I left. We didn't do that, right? And I left mad. I left mad at me. If I'm honest, I left mad at us because I felt like we missed the call. I felt like there was something missing. He called for that altar call. He shared what was on his heart. He opened up. I didn't act on that nudge that I had. To pray for the mountains, to pray for our neighbors, to pray for others. And I'm sure folks came up here, but I didn't. I didn't. Before I forget to read the text, I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 7. Pastor Roger this morning, it just keeps weaving together. He talked about the door. Verse 7 starts with, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he be given a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law of the prophets." Let's knock this morning. I talked about the leaders at Craig. I talked about Terry, Matt Grubbs. We all love and know Matt Grubbs, right? They've also got some other Johnston County folks. Angie and Jake Jacobs are both up there. Judy is Terry's wife. Shannon is in, not this Shannon, but another Shannon's in charge of food service and distribution. John is kind of helping lead the cooking. So they've got a good group of folks that's happening in there. Again, I'll come back to them in just a minute. So as I said, 2 weeks ago, I left here and I was thinking, man, that altar should have been full. Man, we sang our three verses and we went home, right? On the way home, the other coach for Everett soccer team, Shannon, had looked on Facebook, and they had already sprung into action. They were doing a supply drive at the food line at Newton Grove. We stopped on the way home. We went and got some stuff. dropped it off there at the food line, and man, I feel good now. I have overcome. I missed that altar call, but at least I did something to help, right? So we did that. I got home, and I started thinking about the week ahead. I pulled out my phone, and I checked my email to see my work email to see what might need to be attended to. What did I need to follow up on? I had an email from one of Amy's classmates. Not unusual to get an email from them on the weekend, but it was sent at 11:51. Wonder what was happening about 11:51 that Sunday. Gracie's email was asking for direction on what to do to help support Western North Carolina. You see, since Saturday when I heard the news about Hurricane Helene, I felt like something needed to be done, but what could I do? Send a check, pick up some supplies like we did on Sunday, something, but what? So I just set it aside, and I decided we'll get back to it later. But over back to Gracie, this student is ready to spring into action. Gracie's father has a trucking company and a towing company, and they've raised $1,400 toward the efforts. They've already got two pallets of water donated. They got two truckloads of supplies that are already headed west. Wow. What does she need from me, right? What is she calling on me for? So we talked back and forth from about 2 o'clock until about 4:30. And what is it that she's asking from me? To send an email. I can handle that. She wants me to send an email campus-wide and let them know anything that you can do to help, any supplies that you can bring in, any money that you can contribute, let's get it, let's put it to work. So I reached out, you know, I followed the chain. I reached out to make sure the administration was okay with me doing that. And honestly, much to my surprise, sure, go ahead. You know, I was thinking there's going to be some larger coordinated effort from campus. There's going to let's hold off and let's figure out what. Nope, just go ahead. That's fine. There's other churches that are already doing it, but it's not going to hurt anything. Y'all go ahead. Well, I had included in the email, so I had been talking back and forth with Matt Sharp, who's our campus pastor, and I'd been talking back and forth with him about the opportunity to send a group. He wanted to take a group out to Western North Carolina. So I put a little note in the email message about that. So about 5:51, to be exact, I woke up on Monday morning. I've got that email on my mind, but I hadn't sent it yet. So at 5:51, I woke up, I typed that email out, and I clicked send. By 6:30, I got a call from Dr. Kroom. Dr. Kroom said, let me know what y'all decide to do. If y'all are going to go out west, let me know what y'all decide to do, and I may want to tag along with you. Okay, that sounds good. He said, by the way, I got 8 cases of water. If you'll just stop by and grab those, I've got a couple meetings. So I continued talking with Matt Sharp about the need to seriously think about how are we going to provide some assistance and aid in addition to this collection that we're going to do. He told me he was working through some things. He was talking with some folks across campus. Again, check that box. I put it in motion. I can step back. It's been taken care of, right? Another thing checked off the list. They would likely send a group either to submit Baptist on Mission out in Hendersonville or to work at Cragmont and to be mobilized from there. Thursday to Saturday was kind of the time they were looking at. Check. Again, I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't want to go, didn't need to go. They've got it handled. We're good to go. I later found out that morning at 10 o'clock, Dr. Kroon left campus. He went home. He got his truck. He got a chainsaw, and he took off to Western North Carolina. This man with 1,000,001 more things to do than me found the time to say, let's go. Let's make a difference. He cleared his schedule. I'm sure he had some important meetings. And he said, let's go. Let's figure out. That started tugging a little bit. Okay. By Monday afternoon, the room holding the supplies that had been coming in was about half full. I was replying to emails, letting folks know. Folks wanted to know, how long are we going to be collecting items? How long is this going to be going on? I don't know. You know, we're just kind of building it as we go along. Some of the clubs were planning meetings. You see some pictures on here of some of the things that got brought and donated. Things were moving along nicely. We talked to campus ministries again on Monday, and again, we keep talking about this. Well, are you going to go? Are you going to be able to go? I don't know. I'm not sure that's for me. Still working through the details, but just identifying enough students to help. I asked Sarah, she wasn't able to be here this morning, but Sarah Johnson, my assistant director in the Agribusiness Center, sent an email to see if we could get some students signed up to go out and help. Sarah had also told me, she said, well, we've got a trip planned to Pigeon Forge, so you know James and I probably won't be able to go, But I'll send the email out, and we'll see what goes on from there. They had already they had the trip planned. They checked in with Dollywood. Dollywood's still open. Everything's still on go. They just have to take the long way around to get there. Okay, we left it at that. Again, I continue to have kind of that nagging feeling. Sarah and I had talked throughout the day. Well, are you going to go? I don't know. You know, probably not, but we'll work it out. Everett was supposed to have a soccer game that night, and it stormed that Monday night. And so I got home, and Shannon and I didn't have anything better to do than to talk to each other. So we started talking about, you know, all the things that had gone on that day, okay? We started talking about the needs at Cragmont. Well, little did I know, Shannon had been watching the needs. And so she had already seen Cragmont was looking cooked. Well, y'all know Miss Sylvia's granddaughter's ready to cook any time, right? And so she said, I wish there was something that we could do to help. And I thought, no. I wish there was something we could do to help. But again, we're too busy, okay? We've got jobs. We got children. There's just too much going on. Too many unknowns. It's too dangerous. I didn't really feel like Shannon really wanted to go. I think she just, you know, this was just a fleeting moment. She'd get over it. If I'm honest, I really didn't want to go. Much to my surprise, Shannon said, I guess that'd be fine. Maybe we should look at going. Sarah asked me again that evening. She said, do you think you'll go help? And I said, before this happened, I said, well, I don't know, but Shannon wants to go. And she said, we've changed our mind. We're going. We're going to help at Cragmont. And if you ain't going and Shannon wants to go, she can ride with us. And I thought, well, my goodness, y'all can't leave me behind now. So the next morning, we talked about plans. We had filled this van that we didn't even have. Athletics had booked all the vans that we had. There wasn't even a van available. But we had it filled with students that wanted to go. Still working through the location, either going to Canton or Hendersonville up there, or Baptist on Mission, or going to Cragmont. So I texted Shannon. I said, yep, everything's set up. That's the same night I reached out to Ralph. I said, we're going to Cragmont. If the church wants to do anything, here's your chance, right? Shannon checked with her mom. I checked with mine. We got the boys taken care of. We talked to a couple local stores. You can see that up here, too. And they said, yes, absolutely. Come set up in front of our stores. We've even got stuff, extra back stock in the back that y'all are welcome to. We'll put that on the truck. All of a sudden, that enclosed trailer that we had was half full. And by the time we came here, it was full that Wednesday night. Ralph sent out a one call to the church, and y'all showed up. Wow, what an awesome response. We came and loaded the supplies and other items in the trailer and prayed over the trip. That was a special moment. The people with those here at church that Wednesday night. We sent the boys to school on Thursday morning. We left for Cragmont, chainsaw in tow, and some gas to help clear the roads and driveways for those that needed it, while Shannon had decided she was going to stay back to cook. We decided to go ahead of the group because Shannon's stepsister is outside of Asheville, and we needed to drop off some water and some gas and stuff for her, so we went ahead of the group, and we decided, so we met at the Ingalls parking lot. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about, and I don't really even have a whole lot of pictures about what it looks like because that's not what's important, okay? But I will tell you, it was an eerie feeling in that Ingalls parking lot when we pulled up. When you pull up and you see big cops and military folks that are standing there, and they've got big rifles and big long guns in a grocery store parking lot. You know, it's like, I don't know about this. So we pull in, and I mean, it also, it's kind of got that feeling of a national disaster, you know, a state of emergency. I would liken it almost to a terrorist attack or something like that. It was just a really eerie feeling. There wasn't a whole lot of movement, but there was a lot of eyes watching things happening. So we pulled in. There's dirt all over and dust all over the parking lot. Like I said, 12 to 15 police officers directing traffic and keeping things moving smoothly and safely. Helicopters flying overhead. Just, you know, you could feel the nervousness and the anxiousness that was going around. We had a trailer full of stuff. Everything that we needed was in the back of the truck because I was not opening that trailer in a wide open parking lot. It just seemed like a bad dream or a scene from a sci-fi movie, really. So when we got there, when we got to Cragmont, we pulled in like we always do, and we're greeted at the road by a young girl. She asked if we'd been there. Well, we hadn't been there for this, so she sent us up the hill to the gym. We got there, and we helped unload supplies, in the gym, now being called a warehouse. You know, that's kind of strange too. We went from a basketball and a workout gym to now it's a warehouse that's got all these different supplies that are being unloaded into it. Lines and tables of pallets and supplies. After unloading, I parked the truck and we headed back in to help with whatever we could do. We met Jake and Angie Jacobs. They're from Smithfield, go to Tease Chapel. And had a good talk with them, and we got to work. We went and got settled in later in the girls' dorm bunkhouse. We ate supper, and we headed back up to the supply warehouse to continue organizing supplies for the next morning. Matt Grubbs announced that there would be two tractor trailers coming in the next day that needed to be unloaded. Boy, was I glad I brought my chainsaw. I was heading out to save the day. Forget the tractor trailers. I'm ready to go do some man stuff. So I helped Shannon and Sarah and some of our students get lunch started that morning. They prepared mixed vegetables and chicken Alfredo was on the menu for 3,000 people. They had another 3,000 that were going to be getting barbecue chicken. After breakfast, we split into different groups based on where we could help. You know what group wasn't called? Chainsaw. They had all they needed. They didn't need any more chainsaws. The real need was for helping at Cragmont. I knew I didn't want to take orders from Shannon at food service. So I headed up the hill to help at the warehouse. By 9 o'clock, guess who got drafted to help unload those tractor trailers? They asked for folks with trucks and trailers. The warehouse is up a steep hill. Y'all know that. The gym's up that really steep hill. There wasn't a good way for those tractor trailers to get up there. So they parked at the Dorothy Wall Center, which is just, you know, between Cragmont and Black Mountain, between that Ingalls distribution center. And James, Sarah's husband, works with me, and I jumped in with two guys from Virginia and took off down the hill. Those two guys ended up being retired police officers who had never, ever run a pallet jack in their life. I don't think they'd ever seen one. James and I both had experience. So we got to work. Let me paint you a picture. A tractor trailer with about 24 pallets ranging from 5 pounds of styrofoam plates to 2,500 pounds of bottled water had to be moved from a tractor trailer into a U-Haul. Those were the two things that we had. A tractor trailer, well, we didn't have that, but here it comes, and we got a U-Haul. So we took the ramp on the back of that U-Haul, pulled it all the way out, extended that up to the platform of the back of the truck, and took it from it with a pallet jack, with two people who couldn't run it again, and moved it from the tractor trailer into that U-Haul, 7 pallets at the time. Now all we had to do was move pallets to, okay, let me back up, sorry. We had a pallet jack, a ramp, U-Haul, and we got it rigged up and got it to work. When we had about 4 pallets left in the first truck, 2 trucks coming, remember, we had about 4 pallets left in the first truck, an angel appeared behind the wheel of a Site 1 landscape flatbed. You see that thing right there? Well, he's got a piggyback forklift on the back of that truck, and he said, "Hey, boys, if y'all can get it to the back of the truck, I can pick it up with the forklift. I'll put it on my truck, and then I'll haul it up the hill." The Lord has provided. How about that? My back and my legs appreciated it. And then once we got it up the hill, we could use the skid steer to get them unloaded off his truck. This was a tremendous help. Now all we had to do was move the pallets to the tail end of the trailer, and he took care of the rest. We got the first truck unloaded, got to work on the second one. Just about the time we had finished unloading that second truck. What's that I hear? A third truck, number three. Shannon is the truck driver's name. Told us he had about 30 minutes that he could help us, and then he had to leave. So he helped us get that third truck unloaded just as quickly as we could. We loaded it in the U-Haul. We loaded it on his truck. We took it up, made another, and it worked out just perfectly. He was able to unload it. We were able to get it loaded one more time. And we took off. Each night after we got done working, we would go into the chapel to spend time together talking about our day and spend some time worshiping and just talking with each other. We went to bed that night, and on Saturday, I've spent 2 days now, a day and a half, in the warehouse and in the tractor trailer. I ain't going back. We're doing something different today, right? I'm ready to go see some people. I'm ready to go save some lives, kick in some doors, cut some trees down. We're going to do something, right? We will definitely get out to help the community today, delivering meals, taking prepackaged bags of needed supplies for those that couldn't get out. I made the mistake that morning of noting that the parking situation at the warehouse was less than stellar. Okay, I've seen it. We got three different groups of folks that are pulling in. None of it's coordinated. Everything's all over the place. So I went up to Angie, who was in charge, and I said, "Hey, I'm not going to be up there today, but I'm just letting you know you might want to do something different with the parking lot. If you could get everybody just to move their vehicles back, you might could get some more vehicles unloaded." So Angie asked out loud for a better way for folks to park. And the one who I thought was my friend, Matt Grubbs, put me in charge of arranging the cars to make it easier. This was especially important because two more tractor trailers were coming, and this time they would try to get up the hill at the warehouse because the Dorothy Wall Center is transitioning to become a shower facility. Still don't have running water at Cragmont, so they're working on getting that transitioned over for folks to be able to take showers there. Okay, fine, Matt. I'll go 30 minutes, maybe an hour tops, get everybody moved, and then I'm going out. You know, we're getting on the road and we're heading out. He handed me a walkie-talkie, which I knew was bad news, and we went on. Finally, after getting all the vehicles parked right in the middle, have you ever? They just parked right in the middle of the grassy area like there was nothing to do here. We got all those moved out to the areas that they to clear it out. And then all of a sudden, man, we get in a rhythm. We've got a well-oiled machine. I have set this thing in motion. All right, somebody else can come and take on, and I can move on, right? Volunteers would back up to the front door to load their vehicles before leaving. Big drop-offs could unload at the big roll-up door, and community members could come and pick up their supplies, their hot meals, almost like a drive-through window. Everything was just moving really good. Everything was working out really great. We had room for tractor trailers to pull up. The first one showed up. The team got it on Cragmont, at Cragmont, and decided that it was not going to make it up the hill. There was no way that it was going to make it up the hill. So luckily, Dorothy Walls hadn't started the shower situation yet. They sent them back to Dorothy Walls, and our two friends from Virginia went back out. Glad we taught them how to run that pallet jack the day before. They went back and with some help and got those trucks unloaded while we took care of things at the warehouse. Kind of threw a wrench in his plan, especially since my Site 1 guy from yesterday, Shannon, wasn't with us. And y'all, I kid you not, now here comes another angel. This angel was driving an F-350 dually with a flatbed gooseneck trailer with a dovetail on the back of it. And when he got there, his door opened. Again, back to the sci-fi movie. His seat spins around, and it lowers to the ground. His wife comes around from the other side, brings his wheelchair. He goes around and starts undoing the ratchet straps that are on his trailer. We ended up approaching him after we got him unloaded and said, "I know you. He came from Alabama. No, you want to get back to Alabama. We got two tractor trailers we need to unload, and we found out yesterday it worked really good by having this flatbed truck, now trailer, to get that unloaded. Is there any way that we could get you to stick around with us?" He said, "Absolutely, sure. I'll be glad to help." Again, the Lord has provided. We unloaded him and asked, like I said, he stayed for us to get the rest of those out. The rest of our group left. This was Saturday, so the rest of our group left after lunch. But we decided to stay another night. There was so much help that was needed, and we still hadn't had a chance to get out and see anything and help anybody. So we decided we were going to stick around again with Amy and Reagan. And here comes a third angel. This time, he's got a Bobcat skid steer with a grapple loader attachment on the front. Now, he, like me, he came to do some man stuff, right? He's brought that Bobcat. He's got that grapple on the front. He's ready to go get some work done. I also happened to notice that he had pallet forks on the front of that trailer, and I said, "Is there any way we could get you to help us unload this trailer so that we could have a Bobcat down loading that truck, and then instead of bringing it back, we could have him unloading up there?" He said, "Sure, be glad to help. Anything that I can do." The next came up with Coastal Agribusiness, and they came with another flatbed truck full of, y'all seen those, y'all remember those totes that Mike brought for Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, to power the water slide. Well, this guy shows up with a truckload full of them. Like I said, Cragmont doesn't have running water. So right now what we're doing is going and filling up buckets at the pond, bringing those back over and flushing the toilets with that. Well, this guy has brought, I don't know, 14 or 16 of those totes full of water that we can use for that and so much more. This was a godsend for sure. He stayed and ran the long-reaching forklift that had showed up also, too. Now all of a sudden, everything's showing up. Also, in the bottom right corner over there, so one of my good friends from Mount Olive, we were students at Mount Olive together, and she was there when I went back. Her dad showed up. Man, it was good to see a familiar face. So he and his wife is a nurse, and she had been volunteering at one of the local medical facilities and helping out. And she had, I didn't know, because we hadn't been on Facebook and paying attention, but little did we know, she was looking for a generator. She was looking for a generator because she had found a need. There was somebody that was on CPAP machines. They needed it to be able to breathe. They needed some way to power that. She talked to Shannon. She talked to Matt once they got there, and they hooked them up with a generator. They found a generator. So she said, make sure that you share. God provided that generator to make a difference for that family. Every need that we saw at Cragmont was met with a miraculous sign and wonder. We finally snuck away for a couple hours to deliver hot meals to a senior complex. That was about 3 o'clock probably on Saturday afternoon. What an awesome experience that was. They have no power, no water, haven't had a hot meal or even semi-hot meal prepared since the storm had showed up. So we showed up with plates with pork loin and corn, and y'all, you'd have thought it was filet mignon. Those folks were, and you can see them right there, look how happy they look. And there's some other pictures of folks that were preparing food there at Cragmont as well. We had 75 plates. This was a pretty big facility, so we thought, well, they're going to need all 75 plates, and if they don't need them today, I'm sure they got a cooler or something they can stick them in. So we dropped them off, and this guy came back up, and he said, we've only got about 40 people here. He said, please take those other 35 plates and give them to somebody that needs them. We saw that day after day and time after time. People would come up, and we've got, you can't see it on this one, but pallets and pallets and pallets of bottled water. And people would come up and say, if I can just get 5 bottles, that'll get me through. Take a pack, you know, take a pack. Same thing here. We got 75 plates. If you don't need them today, share them with somebody else. Please take them to somebody else that needs them. So that's what we did. They gave us a couple ideas. We went out and, found some other folks that were in need, dropped off those supplies. We headed back to Cragmont, completely exhausted. We planned to go to bed before breakfast. We planned to go to bed and leave before breakfast so that we can make it back without getting another assignment from Matt, right? But we need to wait. Shannon wants to share for specific. I'm going to blame this one on Shannon. She wants to share with the site leaders, the folks that we met at that apartment complex, and make sure that they're on list to start receiving those meals, those hot meals that they're cooking, so that they know that there's a need there. So we sat downstairs kind of outside between Matt's office and the chapel, and we waited. And each night they kind of do a huddle. The site leaders, the leadership does a huddle to talk about needs and kind of make plans for the next day. Well, we start hearing rumors about a church service that they're going to have on Sunday morning. Shannon and I said, well, that'd probably be pretty cool. You know, we'll stick around. We're not going to make it back for church here, so we'll stick around for church, for the chapel service there. James and Sarah had to get back because they had a meeting at their church that they needed to make it back to. So they're going to leave before breakfast. We meet a group from New Beginnings Community Church down around Wilmington, who we've seen several times. They've been picking up supplies. They've been going out and doing things. They begin describing a community of 3 trailer parks that they found right off the main road. This is Saturday. They stopped by, they found out what the folks needed, they gave them what they had that they needed, they got an understanding of what their other needs were so that they could go back and report back. And they too had planned to leave the next morning early before breakfast, so they wanted to load up that night so they'd be ready to go. Okay, that's fine. Y'all go ahead. We're good. Y'all go load up. We're going to go to sleep. We spent our fair share of time in the warehouse. We got the info from them to share with the site leaders, and they went to eat supper. The last thing that we wanted to do at 10 o'clock at night was go back to that warehouse and load another trailer. Y'all feel me? We almost just texted the info, went the easy way out and said, hey, here's the addresses, here's where you need to go, here's where they need stuff. But instead, we waited in the main building. Judy, who's Terry's wife, came out and we shared the info with her. We shared about the apartment complex. We shared about the trailer parks that the guy had talked about. Judy looked at me, and she said, well, hadn't you been up there in the warehouse all weekend? Trying to maintain my composure, I looked up at her, and I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, Angie said, as long as you go up there with them, Y'all go ahead and load up. Okay, Miss Judy. Sounds good. So we went up, headed up to the gym on the Cragmont Gator that I may or may not have commandeered twice while I was up there, thanks to my Mount Olive Gator key, and helped the group get loaded up. After loading, we told the group that there would probably be a chapel service in the morning. Really? They said. The cool guy with his hat backwards, who seemed to be the ringleader. I said, yeah, right after breakfast. He said, is there a piano in the chapel? I said, well, yeah, there is. And he said, everybody kind of started looking at each other. Little did I know, we're standing there with the praise team from this community church down around Wilmington. So they now have decided they were going to leave before chapel so that they could stop on their way out, drop the supplies off at those communities, and then head home. They decided to stay for the service as well. Okay, now here's the next group of angels. It was finally time to go to bed for us. At midnight, I'm awake, writing two Facebook posts, one for personal, one for Mount Olive, and I'm crying. Yeah, I'm not a crier. I'm not. I promise I'm not. But I just can't. I'm typing these through and just sobbing. I finally get done. I go to sleep. Wake up. We go load our trucks and trailers with our stuff to get out. As we're loading up and bringing back the trailer, I've met Terry. And I say this a little bit later, but I'm convinced Terry Norris is some kin to Chuck Norris because he is everything, okay? He's got all kinds of great things, tough guy. And as we load the trailer, I see Terry and we share an emotional moment. A big bear hug, I'm crying again. What is wrong with me? I don't know, but I'm ready to get back home and get back to normal, and hopefully this turtle can find his hard shell. By this time, Sarah has convinced James, why don't we just stay? Let's just stay for the chapel service. James said, how long do you think it's going to last? I said, I don't know, probably 30 or 45 minutes. And that way we can all get to work. We're at breakfast, and we're headed to the chapel. We walk in and take seats as the guy that we helped load the trailer last night is playing the prelude. My man is the fourth best piano player behind June Wallace, Sherry Johnson, and Roger Hill. Okay, number four. Matt Grubbs opens up with a wonderful prayer. They have printed sheets with praise and worship song lyrics. Matt talks about water and wine, and he talks about all those bottles of water that we have unloaded and how each one of those represents the miraculous sign that Jesus did when he changed that water into wine. He talks about every loaf of bread, every piece of food, every cracker that gets unloaded and likens that to the body of Christ that's provided to each and every one that's up there. It just spoke to me. Man, this was great, and it all came together in 8 hours, right? And had we not, at 10 o'clock at night, reluctantly, gone and loaded that trailer, they wouldn't have known. They wouldn't have stayed. Hear the tears come again. Man, what's going on? I can't even sing for sobbing. They've got the praise and worship songs going there, and I try to sing and nothing comes out. It was such an encapsulating feeling. I could stand and take in the music, but I couldn't make the words come out. After we sing two songs, the praise team sings another song on their own. Amazing job. And after that, Terry calls up a couple folks for testimonies. First, he calls Shannon, who is the food prep lead from Louisiana. She talks about bread. She said they were sitting there, they were fixing lunch, they were taking care of things, they ran out of bread. Well, they really needed bread. She sent one of them over to the warehouse, to the gym, and said, see if they've got bread. Well, she goes over there, there's one loaf of bread. The volunteer, as she's walking back over, she prays over that loaf of bread. And she said, Lord, multiply it. Multiply it. When she gets back, here they start coming. Boxes and boxes and cases and cases and racks of bread. Loaf by loaf and box by box, hundreds of loaves of bread appear throughout the day. God is so good. Amen. The community church shares info about the trailer park. We've heard that. But it was different this time. He talks about going up and seeing these two guys that look like bouncers standing at the front of it, protecting their community. He talks about talking with them and telling them, praying over them, you will be leaders in this community. You're going to help your community make it through. You're going to help them get through this disaster. They get pointed to the mobile home that's way at the very back. Little did they know, the man that's inside has multiple sclerosis. He's not spoken. He's not stood in years. They take the supplies, they pray, and the man begins to speak. He begins to thank them for bringing the donation. He praised God and gave his heart to Jesus. How powerful. What testimony. Terry, again, the man that I'm convinced can do absolutely anything, picks up a guitar and sings a song that he and a buddy wrote when he was playing drums for a gospel group. After his song, he gave a short message about Jesus weeping in the temple and with Lazarus. And that message was for me. Because just like Jesus, I've only cried 3 times in my life, and they all happened at Cragmont. Terry calls his wife Judy up to lead prayer. She shared story of conviction. She's gifted. She can sense feelings and heavy hearts and those kinds of things. She met with a volunteer, and she could just feel in her spirit that this woman had a lot going on. She was cordial. She was nice, but she just had a heavy heart. 2 days later, she saw the woman, and the woman was completely different. She had overcome. She had given her life to Jesus, and she was there to make a difference and make an impact. At the end, Judy had some of the volunteers come up front. They had 4 of the volunteers that were right up front in front of the altar. They asked for folks to come up if you wanted an individual prayer, line up down the center. I didn't even try to fight it this time, y'all. There was a big old line right down the center, and I knew I was going to be in it. Okay, there's 3. I'm coming from this way. But there was 1, 2, 3 here. Well, Matt Grubbs is standing right over here right by himself, and I said, I'm making a beeline for Matt. So I step out, and I get a nudge from Shannon. She grabs my hand coming behind me, and we walk up front, and we had prayer with Matt. Again, unbelievable feeling that I have never felt in my life. I couldn't get the words out. I just grabbed Matt and just sobbed, just wept. I felt the heaviness that I had carried around for a week since I missed the altar call here, get lifted. I got my altar call, y'all. One by one, each and every person in that room had prayer. Some got prayer at their seats. Others met at the front. Others gathered in groups and had prayer. It was the most incredible experience I've ever had in a church service. Absolutely amazing. Often we say let go and let God, and that's what happened that day. We were in the chapel for about 1.5 hours, and it felt like 5 minutes. Such an awesome and mighty move of God. Since leaving Cragmont, we have continued to keep up with the stories. Churches like ours have answered the call to provide supplies, send volunteers, and make a difference in any way that they can. We are called to love our neighbors, and that's exactly what we're doing. We have heard more miracles and angelic encounters happening at Cragmont, from eggs appearing and being multiplied to ministering to homeless folks. At the chapel service, Terry shared the motto for Emerge Ministries: one vision, many voices, his plan. One vision, many voices, his plan. There at that altar, my life was forever altered. There's where the spelling comes in, right? What more could we ask for? We have to work together toward one vision. It takes many voices to make it happen and bodies working together to get things done. But as long as we follow his plan, that's all that matters. 77,000 steps over 4 days, and it wasn't enough. I could have taken that many more. My feet were blistered. My arms were sore. My legs were tired. And I was exhausted. But my heart had never been so full. Y'all, this altar is something that we cannot take for granted. It may seem like carpet on a raised plywood floor, but when children of God come to this altar and kneel or stand for prayer, it's so much more. God meets us here. He met Shannon and I on that mountain at the altar. We had an amazing time serving those in need, but in reality, we were the ones that were served. Find out what you can do. Again, this is not, I know everybody can't make it up to Cragmont, but find what you can do. Seek God's guidance and go make it happen. We were just a group of ordinary people with extraordinary help from the Lord who were obedient and followed the Lord reluctantly, as it may have been. Not everyone can travel, like I said. I get that, but find what you can do and go after it. Be the hands and feet in Jesus. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be open to you. He can do the same for you right here, right now. Don't miss it. I know I will do my best not to miss another one of those nudges from the Lord. Like I said, we didn't go to Cragmont, as I sum up here, we didn't go to Cragmont looking for a blessing, but we reluctantly answered that call to serve, and we received a life-changing experience that I will never forget. Thank you.